I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Gospel of John and chapter 14 and verse 6. The Gospel of John and chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We continue this evening in our series on looking at the I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we remind ourselves of the opening parts of these statements, I am, Jesus is making a statement about his divinity. He's immediately directing us to himself as a person with whom we need to relate to and be in union with. I am, Jesus is saying, the great I am. I am the I am God, the second person in the Trinity. I am equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. So he's bringing our attention firstly to his divinity as God. Only Jesus can make such a statement as this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only God could make such a statement as this. And here Jesus, as the God-man, Christ Jesus, is making this unequivocal, this absolute, this eternally true statement. And so, as we look at this verse in the context of the divinity of Christ and the authority of Christ, we see, first of all, two fundamental truths which strike us at the outset. If we look at the first four verses, we see the end of the way if it is traveled with this person, Jesus. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So the end of the way, when it is traveled with his glorious person, Jesus Christ, is heaven. That's the destination. That's where we're heading to. If we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, there's only one destination, and we're only going in one direction. We're going every minute of our life. We are a step closer to heaven, the mansions that the Lord Jesus is preparing for us. But then the second thing which can strike us at the outset is the fellowship in the way if we are traveling with Jesus. So in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him. Well, Jesus is the way. He is the one with whom we travel. He is the way. He is the companion on this way to heaven. So we have the end of the way. We have the fellowship of the way. But then there is further assurance given later in the chapter. We have the comfort of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and teach us in the way in Christ Jesus through his word. So the Lord Jesus said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Oh, what a comfort this is. And then in verse 26, another help on the way. But the helper, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. And so we have the assurance of the triune God in the way. We have Jesus, who is the way, and Jesus is leading us to the Father. And as we traverse this pilgrim way here upon earth, we have the help of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in that way. But then there is a further assurance given if we are traveling with this wonderful friend Jesus, the wonderful person, the Lord Jesus. If we turn to verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I am in the way with you. I am leading you. I am guiding you with the Holy Spirit. And we in partnership together, the ultimate destination is heaven, and we are bringing you to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me." So the setting of this statement is within the assuring truths of being in the way. Jesus not only says that I am the way, the truth and the life, but then he gives us some encouragements for us in the way. And what does it mean then to be in the way? Well, the answer lies this evening in a living, true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about knowing about Jesus. It's not just about knowing who Jesus is. That's wonderful. That's important. That's vital to know him, about his character and his person and his work. But when we say know Jesus, it means that we are knowing him in relationship with him. That the Lord Jesus is walking with us. He's dwelling within us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a wonderful relationship. We couldn't be in relationship with any better person than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, "I am the way." So when we think about the way, we have to see it in a person. It's in a person. Jesus is the way. Now, there was a man once who hired a guide to take him across a desert wilderness that he had to cross, and he had no really idea how best to get across this desert, so he hired a guide that knew the way, evidently. Well, when they got to the edge of the desert land, there was no track. There was no path. There was not even any footprints. It was just this vast expanse of desert. And the man said to his guide, "Well, where is the way? Where is the path? Where are the footsteps?" And he turned to his customer and he said, "I am the way. I am the way. I know the way. I am the way. All you've got to do is to follow me." And that is what it is like with the Lord Jesus. We look at the future of our life. We do not understand what's in front of us. And sometimes it's a bit like a wilderness. We're walking in this wilderness. We don't know the way. We can't see what direction to take. But there is a way, a right way through this wilderness. There is a right way to heaven. And we find it in the very person of Jesus Christ. "I am the way." It's very interesting to see that this principle, this truth, was one of the hallmarks of Christianity right at the very beginning of the early New Testament church. When Saul was committing men and women to prison and sending them to the lions and to their death before his conversion, he speaks of this period in his time of life and his period of life in his rebellion against God. And he said, "If I found anyone who were of the way," that's how they were known, the way, "whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." And what signified them being in the way? Well, it was Jesus of Nazareth, because Paul hated Jesus of Nazareth. And all those that were of the way were of those that were trusting in Jesus. He was the way. And that's what they were known as, people of the way, the Lord Jesus. So when Paul was called by grace, it was Jesus who said to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom you persecute. I am Jesus. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus who you persecute." So the first point we can see here then, when Jesus said, "I am the way," it means to be united to a person, and none other than the Lord Jesus. We're in a union with him as we trust in him. And when we're in the Lord Jesus, we're trusting in him and believing in him, it means we're in the way of redemption. We are a being redeemed from the power of the enemy, Satan, from the power of hell, to the light, to heaven. We're being rescued. We have been purchased with a price, the precious blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Being in the way, in Jesus, means that you are in the way of redemption. You're in the way of deliverance. And secondly, you're in the way of reconciliation. We have this wonderful truth. We're no longer enemies with God. We were enemies with God, but as we trust in Jesus the way, we become a friend of God. And we can say, "Abba, Father," and we can pray to God as our Father in heaven. And as we're in the way in Jesus, another aspect of this truth is that we are in the way of righteousness. And it's a wonderful truth that we can pray and we can come before God, our Heavenly Father, as pure as Jesus is himself, clothed in the very righteousness of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be in the way. That's what it means to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. All the benefits of the Lord Jesus become ours. The wonders of his person, the wonders of his salvation, the wonders of his lordship, the wonders of his wisdom, the wonders of his spiritual blessings, they become the believers. And we're redeemed, we're reconciled, we're considered righteous before God. We're viewed as righteous before God. And you know, fourth thing of being in the way, it is the way to radiance. There's coming a time when we will be in the radiance of glory. The radiance of glory. And this is only an experience we can have in heaven, really. Because, you know, when Paul was converted, we know we talked about this last Lord's Day evening. He was blinded by the radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And but when we get to heaven, we won't be blinded by the radiance of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. We will dwell in it. It will radiate our souls. It will warm our souls. And we'll be filled with unlimited praise and worship. And we will no longer be limited with this body and with this mind. We will be emancipated and we will spend eternity enjoying spiritual truths, constantly developing in our knowledge of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the way of redemption, reconciliation, righteousness and radiance, it's all in a person, Jesus. "I am the way" also teaches us that Jesus is absolutely and totally committed to the cause of his people. You know, as you trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's absolutely committed to your cause. Absolutely. In fact, he's so committed to your cause that he lays down his life that you might have access to the way. Not only laying down his life, but doing what no other person could ever do, and that is bear the eternal punishment, the wrath of God, on your behalf. that you or I deserve for all eternity in hell, he has taken it upon himself. That's how committed he is to the cause of his people. And he satisfied the justice of God the Father that we might go free, that we might be forgiven. Oh, if Satan ever tempts you to say, is this Jesus really on your side? Does he really love you? Does he really care for you? Is he really concerned for your soul? You make haste to Calvary, and there you will see he does care. He does care. But he cares now. He's interceding in heaven now. There may be a person here this evening whose desire is after the Lord Jesus at this very second, this very moment. And at this very second, Jesus is at the Father's right hand and he's interceding for you. He's pleading for you. He's presenting your cause to the Father. This is the way. This is the way. It is in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. Secondly, I am the truth. What men and women need most of all in this uncertain world is truth. But the problem is, in this postmodern world, we don't really like the truth often because it's so challenging for us. You know, I think I may have mentioned this before, but someone I know who was fairly well up in the city said, you know, the government daren't tell us how bad the financial debt situation really is because it is so shocking. And I think that is the case in the world with this huge debt burden of many nations. And in Europe, these things are being hidden and we're just mounting up and up and up because we don't really want to face the reality, because the reality is it's going to have a dramatic effect. And so we have to keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Now, I was reading something yesterday afternoon in preparing this message, and it said this, it said, truth exists eternally, but falsehoods have to be invented. And that's so true. Truth has existed for eternity because truth is in Jesus Christ and he's an eternal being. He is the way, the truth and the life. So truth is something which has always existed in the person of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity. It's always existed. Truth has always existed eternally. There's always been God. But falsehood and lies are invented. And so all real truth is God's truth. It belongs to God. Lies belong to Satan, and truth belongs to God. And truth is for us, as we look at this text, is found in the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need most of all this evening is truth. And the Lord Jesus is absolute truth. He's eternal truth. He's secure truth. And he's unchangeable truth. Unchangeable truth. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word is the truth. It is Jesus, the incarnate truth of God, in a person, in a perfect man. And so as we look at the life of Jesus as a man, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We could look at his testimony. His testimony is true, utterly and completely. His doctrine is true. It's like dew upon the soul. His message of salvation is true. It's real. It's dependable. And then he is the truth as the very being of God, as the way of God, as the word of God, as in the law of God, and the character of God. All these things are true about the Lord Jesus, and his teaching is true. Everything about Jesus is true and truth. So whatever way you look at the Lord Jesus, as you examine his life and you seek to know him and study the word of God that you might know more about Jesus, all that will happen is you will develop more and more in a knowledge of the truth. And if you are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus, you are trusting in him, that truth will do you good. It will develop you. And you're developing through a relationship with a person, the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you remember when Jesus stood before Pilate we read, if we just turn on to chapter 18 of this Gospel of John, 18 verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth? What is truth?" And that is the cry of the world today. What is truth? Well, truth is in a person for the Christian. Jesus is saying, "I am the truth." And thirdly and finally this evening, Jesus is saying, "I am the life, the life." Now, when Jesus ministered in his teaching to Nicodemus, it was this fundamental issue of the way that puzzled him. Jesus told Nicodemus something very unusual. And Nicodemus couldn't contemplate this. He said, "You must be born again. You must be born again." And directly Nicodemus is referred to natural birth. How can someone re-enter his mother again and be born again? But Jesus was teaching about a spiritual work of grace within, wherein spiritual life is imparted within us. And we're given a new nature and a heart that resonates with God in Christ Jesus. Spiritual desire, yes, it does ebb and flow in the Christian life, but there is life within. We sometimes don't think we can feel it, and sometimes we can't feel it, but it doesn't mean it's not there, because God has put it there. In God's good time, as we seek him, it will bubble up again, as it were, in our soul. And this is the uniqueness of being a Christian. It is fundamentally a spiritual experience. It is life. It is life. And so it is that Jesus, in relationship to the work of the Holy Spirit, says to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." But if we read in verse 16, we see what are the evidences of the Spirit of God working in our lives. We see it in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever this evening believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the life. And it comes through believing. And you can't believe in the Lord Jesus without the Holy Spirit's help. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus this evening? Do you say in your heart and your very inner being, "Yes, I do believe in the Lord Jesus. He is the only way of salvation. And I do depend upon him absolutely and totally. I feel my unworthiness. I wish I loved him more, but one thing I can say, yes, I love him and adore. Oh, for grace to love him more." Who put that seed in your life? Who put that seed of life in you? You didn't. No man did. No family did. God did. And even if it's a seed, a grain of a mustard seed, it will grow. And this is the confirmation. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus is the life. But how does the Bible, just as we come to conclusion, further explain this truth to us? Let's go back to John chapter 1 and verse 4. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. So we have to keep thinking about that truth about the Lord Jesus, not just as Savior, not just as Lord, but he is the life, the life. He's the life of your soul. In chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, that they might have everlasting life. And then in chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And here is what is particularly meant by the Lord Jesus when he's speaking here about being the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who is opposed to death. He is the conqueror of death. He is the resurrection and the life. So when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we not only look to him as Savior, we not only look to him as Lord, but we look to him as life, that everlasting life for our soul, but that heaven that awaits the Lord's people. I am the resurrection. There's come at a time when our bodies will be resurrected and we will be given glorified bodies. And it's all because of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, he is then, Jesus said, the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, you know, I was thinking, I think I may have mentioned this morning or perhaps in prayer, I can't remember now, but when Jacob dreamt, he had his head on a stone and he dreamt of angels descending and ascending on a ladder. And that was the ladder as a picture of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you see, Jesus is not only the way from man to God, but from God to man. It's a two-way relationship that's going on here. God sent his only beloved Son into this world as the Savior and Lord. And God only receives sinners into heaven who are saved and made righteous through his only beloved Son. And we come to the Father and we pray to the Father through God the Son. And we receive blessings as a consequence from heaven through God the Son. So there is this ladder and there are these blessings going up and down. And Jesus is the central part, the central way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. Now, the place that Jesus loves to be most of all is in the bosom of the Father. This is what cost him so much at Calvary. This is why Jesus cried that heartfelt cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus loves to be in the very presence of his Father, with him in glory, with the Holy Spirit. And the way in Jesus, who is the way, actually leads us into his favorite place, his favorite abode, the very presence of the triune God, the God of glories. And the way in Jesus leads us to the Father with such an assurance that we can say, Abba, Father. And the way in Jesus is the only way to God. And here is this fundamental truth that we must never be denied. Currently, there are talks going on and negotiations going on between the so-called mainstream religions in the world. You'll have noticed that the Pope spoke about religions coming together and uniting together, and the idea being, going on behind the scenes, is that there'll be a common ground that can be made on compromise so that all religions can be officially stamped. But this will exclude the true Church of God. Because the true Church of God cannot compromise. The true Church of God can never move from this most remarkable statement of the Lord Jesus, the head of the Church. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for providing the way. We thank you that the way is found in a person, your only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray by the Holy Spirit's direction and help and enabling and indwelling in his regenerating, converting power, we might have that gift of repentance and faith and be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ to see in him a hope of heaven and salvation, and really be brought to that point of utter dependence upon him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In his name we pray. Amen.